Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday night. To some of you, it may be Sunday morning. To others in the other parts of the world, it may be Sunday evening. But no matter what time it is, we want to welcome you to another God's Word of Man broadcast. This is Brother Nate on this another God's Word of Man broadcast. And I'm grateful to Jesus Christ for all of you that are tuned in to this broadcast. Once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're at or what nationality you are. Amen. For those of you who've been following, you know that this is Saturday night. Those of you who've been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know that it's heart to heart with Brother Lee and myself and the Handmaidens. Okay, and we also extend the invitation to any born-again believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord to join us on this broadcast. Amen. To call in, the number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any questions, any comments, questions about what you presented tonight, or you just want to call in and join the broadcast, the number is 323-870-3403. And for those of you that have any questions, but you don't like doing over the air, just contact us at email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So once again, we thank God for this blessed day, and as we await for my brother to come on, thank God for all of you that have been listening to us and been following us. The Lord say the same, this coming December will make 3 years. I am grateful to the Lord who has given us opportunity, however, to spread the gospel. And I thank God for that. Amen. We have to do what we can do now, because the day will come that this will be, quote, taken away from the true believers. Right now, they're already working in Congress and things of that nature to shut up the true believer. Now, some of you can believe it or not. It's up to you. But I'm telling you, it is so. And it's high time for us as believers to get up off the couch and start being about our Father's business and start spending more time with the Lord. Because in your mind, you're thinking that you can handle this thing on your own. Oh, you with your lips, you say the Lord. But in your mind, you're thinking that you can handle this on your own. You think that by you being a Christian, you're strong enough to tackle it. Well, you find out, as Sister Sharon said, my friend, that you ain't strong enough to tackle the things that's coming without Jesus Christ. Amen. God said in his word, this is a time that there will come an awakening and a shaking. And I see why he must let it be so. Because sometimes we get too comfortable, people. We get too comfortable, and we need a shaking. We need to awaken. And sometimes, you know, it takes the fire to be turned up, or the awakening, the shaking, to push us toward the Lord. And I know many times God had to allow that in my life. When I had become slothful, disobedient, not doing what I was supposed to do, God will permit some things to come. And the purpose was to light the fire under my feet that I may come to Jesus. Amen. And so there is an awakening and a shaking that is going to come. And it's going to awaken some that have been asleep. Some who have been asleep in the things of this world, who've been lulled to carnal security, you're going to be awakened. Rest assured, it is going to happen. So why have to go through that process and not just be obedient to what God has told you to do? So therefore, I'm going to click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Another blessed day. We're grateful to the Lord Jesus, and thank God for we being in the Zion Liberty, where we can share and speak of the perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God for the brothers of faith and those that are redeemed around the world. We celebrate, especially women and handmaidens of the Lord around the world. And we welcome them and everyone to this broadcast. No matter where you may be, we acknowledge you as worth, because Jesus made and created all things in heaven and in earth, and he has ordained that you be listening at this hour, and I hope it be a blessing. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, power of his resurrection and his second coming, his death on the cross, his shed blood, atonement. We're celebrating Yom Kippur, the atonement, trumpet of feast, and we celebrate the saints that gather together around the world who are putting their lives on to share the gospel. And we thank God for this opportunity, and we are indeed blessed. Handmaidens night, the women of God, we celebrate. We celebrate Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. We celebrate the atonement of our Lord daily. Hallelujah. Amen. As you were saying, brother.
Yeah. I was saying that the Lord talked about the awakening and shaking, and it has to come. There are those who are going to be awakened, stirred up to the obedience of the Lord. And I say unto the people, why not just we just obeyed and having to be shook up and awakened, per se, out of a sleep where we are in a spiritual sleep, even absorbing the things of this world. It is time for us to awaken, be about our Father's business, and spend the time that we need to spend with him to get prepared, because the things that are yet to come, you have some who are professing believers actually think, even though the words out their mouth, they say the Lord, but they actually think they can tackle the things that is to come of their own strength. They actually think that because I am a Christian, that is enough. That's enough to get me to make it through what I'm going to face. And I'm here to tell them that's not so. If you do not spend the time that you need with Christ and grow in his grace and his love and the knowledge of him, you will not be able to make it. Now, I know some people don't want to hear that because they say you're coming off arrogant. Well, you can call it what you want to. I'm just coming off truthful. That without Christ, and some of you wants to stay buddies with people you know in other religions, so you don't want to say this unto them because you are afraid of offending them. Well, I love man. I love him with the love of God. But I'm going to tell him the truth, that without Christ, he cannot make it. And I don't care what religion you are part of. I'm here to tell you that without Jesus, I'm going to state who is number one. That's Christ. And that's as Christians we're supposed to be doing. But we have taken on such a spirit of fear, and the devil has noticed it and become more bolder in coming at us because we are cowardly and shrinking and running in the corner. And therefore, you know, we think that of our own strength, we can handle what's coming, but you can't. Jesus didn't say study to show that stuff.
Well, that's quite true.
Nothing. Amen. You know, he didn't tell us that for nothing. He told us that for a purpose and a reason. So, brother, I know that the awakening and shaking that the Lord is talking about is soon to come. It is going to awaken some out of the sleep, and some will be shaken. Because, brother, I know for myself in my Christian walk, whenever I have been in slothfulness, God will permit some things that will come to shake me up. And it shook me up.
Oh, yeah.
I will run to him. Amen.
Amen. Well, quite true. There's a time that we're living in, and being in the USA, we've been privileged and we've been blessed and honored to be born here, not by coincidence, an incident ordained by the Lord for this hour. So I believe that this is a time of the great awakening. And as we have said before, but before a greater spiritual awakening took take place, especially in this nation around the world, there will come a great shaking of all things, as spoken of in Hebrew 12 and 13, and it extends to chapter 14 of Hebrew. But the shaking of all things is begun, and we see it in every area around the world. We look on our news, international, national, domestic, whatever, we see the shaking has begun of all things, the shaking, hallelujah, the overturning, the failing of all things. So, you know, this is prophecy being fulfilled, as Daniel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the Revelation tells about the shaking of all things, the overthrow of man's and his governments and his forms and his lifestyle that's not according to the will of the Father. So we see these things taking place. So we should be aware that the scriptures or the prophets, the holy ones in the Bible, are coming to pass. And stranger things are about to happen, which the prophets, the holy prophets in scripture, Bible, spoke of, and we see these things fastly moving forward to the day when the Lord Jesus shall come and appear. But before he comes, there is a great promise, final call, final awakening called the Elijah message awakening. So we have to mention this because this is one of the most important scripture concerning the end time, when Jesus spoke about the ministry of Elijah coming to restore all things. As Matthew chapter 17 said, Jesus said, Elijah must. I emphasize that Jesus spoke this must. Not if, not maybe, not well. But Elijah's or Elias, in Elias, Greek, translated into the New Testament, and Hebrew, Elijah must first come and restore all things. So keep that in mind, saints, because it ain't all over with yet. Because before Jesus can come, Acts chapter 3, verse 20-22, Elijah must first come and restore all things. He has a refining, purifying, awakening message. So Malachi 4 said, the earth would almost seem to be under a curse, a cloud of a curse. But Elijah coming to destroy the curse, his word and truth would pierce the darkness and destroy the curse of unbelief and blindness upon the nations of the earth. So let us rejoice. And I think even during this time of great shaking and great darkness upon the earth, the saints should not only have a burden for the souls and for the world, but I think they should have joy, because the kingdom of God is coming with power and great glory, and going to fill the earth. And so the saints should be rejoicing and enjoying life, as well as warning and bearing witness to the gospel of the kingdom. I mean, but I think God wants us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and enjoy life, enjoy our families, our marriage, our time on the earth, not be caught away with the sensual pleasures of this world, as in the days of Noah, but just join the riches of Christ, and enjoying Jesus in the Holy Ghost, as they say. And I think it's a time of great joy, because that thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is coming forth. It's about to fill the whole earth, Daniel 7 says. So we should be rejoicing today. I mean, we should look forward to soon coming. Satan's kingdom is up to an end. Revelation 12 talks about Satan knows his time is short, and his kingdom is coming to an end. And so we should rejoice. the saints shall have gladness and joy every day. And Jesus said in John that our joy should be full, and even as his joy is in the Father. So we should be a joyful, enjoying life, enjoying my food, enjoying my wife, enjoying the time of life in the earth, looking forward to greater things in the Lord. And so just enjoying the earth. You know, sometimes people live in a city and they never see it, went to the other end of the city. Live 40 years and never been to the north side in Chicago or went outside of the city. God made this earth, beautiful earth. I think people should enjoy their time in this life, in this world. And so even darkness is clouded and gross darkness among the nations. We should not lose our joy. Our joy shall increase according to the scripture as the time draweth nigh. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful, God. I had a good little eat. I usually eat about after 3 or 3:30 or 4 o'clock. I generally don't mess with breakfast or lunch most of the time. Hallelujah. I know that when I started came to Christ, he had me on a partial fast, or what you call a denial. For a long time, I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. I dedicated to the Lord because I was anxious to get closer to the Lord. So he put me on a partial fast for quite a while, and so I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. Hallelujah. I just dedicated that denial for the Lord and for the kingdom. And I found out that that when you dedicate something to the Lord in Isaiah 58, though it's small, little, or great, he will honor that. And during that time of denial, I must have went, you know, I don't know, it was a year without eating lunch, and then I would go maybe a day or two without eating anything or drinking water, or go on a juice fast, just fresh juice, dedicating, the Bible says, deny yourself and come after and draw nigh him. So that's a blessing. I noticed that my health got even better, my physical health, and my mental and spiritual part of me. I could see the spiritual part and the emotional part of me was being freed from many things. So I tell people there is something to, you know, doing fasting and prayer, whatever you commit in honor to the Lord as a denial for the glory of God or for the kingdom of God, there is a blessing that you can be and receive, even you, that you may be able to be blessed to give other people a blessing. So I just rejoice because only what you do for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this to people around the world, because we are English-speaking people. And sometimes we assume that the whole world is English-speaking. But there are many languages in the different earth, so everybody's not English-speaking. So when we say God, and they say in their language differently, and they speak in their cultural language differently. So a lot of time in America, they have a tendency to think when they speak, they think everybody is English speaking, American speaking, and all that. So if I was in a Spanish group in their language, you know what Jesus' name would be? Jesus. If I was in the Hebrew, speaking to a Hebrew people, the name of Jesus would be Yeshua or Yahshua. No, if I was in Swahili. So let's be mindful of our brothers all over the world. And some people have in our nation, because the Bible is translated into the English language, and the abridged version of the Bible, of the scriptures, is in basically translated of the original Aramaic or the Hebrew, Greek, into the English language. And sometimes in the translation, it loses its basic meaning. That's why you have to study in the Holy Ghost and research scripture from scripture to scripture to get a proper understanding. Because in translation, many times the original meaning, original wording is lost. So sometimes you have to look up in the Hebrew or the Greek original word what is base meaning to get the true meaning. And then you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit would bring out the interior of the word that you don't see with your natural mind. So here we are on this, what they celebrate as the seventh day. Oh, but Jesus rose on the first day. There is a controversy among many people about the seventh day and the first day, which I'm not going to get into today. There's about eight controversies. I've written them down. And the angel messenger, the Elijah's coming in this generation with a word from our God, has cleared up all of these eight controversies that Christian has about certain things in Scripture. And one of those things, of course, is what is the day of worship? Was it the seventh? Or for the Christian, is it the first day? Then you got the word about water baptism. Oh, there's a big argument around Christian about what formula or what method of water baptism. Oh, just go from one to other. It goes to the Lord's Supper. Should we use the wine of Morgan Davis, or should we use grape juice, unfermented juice of the vine? They go on and on and on. They go from one. Oh, then they have an argument about the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It goes on and on. And then we have they are going to separate about foot washing and, oh, just everything. So many little things that divide Christians about. And these are good, dedicated, loving, caring, born-again Christians, Holy Ghost filled, but they have division and separation of understanding certain scriptures. I think probably if they would get together and fast and pray, you know, for 5 or 6 or 7 days and humble themselves before God and come together and say, Lord, give us the proper light or complete understanding about each of these things so we can be unified. But now we have an angel messenger to restore all things, is coming and speaking clearly and giving light upon all these things that separate Christians. So there's a, you know, thing about the resurrection. And there's a great controversy about the second coming Christ, the rapture and the mid and the red and all of that, and about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and the trade tribulation. And, you know, for a long time, different branches and groups of Christianity were divided because of doctrine differences. But the messenger of the Lord has come. The Elias for the come has spoken on these things. So, I think it's a great day, and let's enjoy Jesus in the Holy Ghost, as they say, every day. If you got kids, enjoy your kids. Take time with your kids, your family. Take them to a vacation. Take them to an enjoyment place. Take them to education places, to a museum. I wouldn't want to go see that museum in Washington, D.C., that great new museum about African-American history. It's a new Smithsonian Afro-American history. I think it's one of the greater things that our kids and people in all nations go from all around the world to see and learn about the history and legacy of people of color. So I think it's a wonderful thing. Thank God. Time to relax. Jesus took time out to relax. People don't really believe that Jesus took time as a son of man, that he took time to be by himself and relax or go into the place. He would visit his friends, and his friends, he had friends. You know, he didn't just go there to be, quote, religious or anything like that. He was still the Christ. He was still the Messiah. He was still the Mahdi. He was still the Redeemer. He would visit his friends, and he'd leave his disciples behind. Y'all be with your family. I'm going, Peter, James, or John, y'all go be with your family. go be with your family. I'm going to my friend's house. His friends was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Those were his special friends. Hallelujah. And he would go often visit them. So, here we are. Here we are. And I think it's good for us to, go visit, see our family members, see how they're faring, how are they doing. Get in contact. I got in contact with some of my old schoolmates, their reunion. They've been having this reunion, especially our high school reunion. And goodness gracious, and as I got in contact with them, when they were constantly telling me about the family reunion, I never did go to the high school reunion. I remember when I went to a college, I had went to the school, and they were having this gathering. And I think it's so good to be around people and share people and enjoy people and let the love of Christ just shine forth in your life, because they will notice a difference in your life without you even saying anything. And I think the greatest witness is that when you don't say anything and people notice there is a various difference in your life, being a new creation in Christ. I thank God. Amen. All right, then. I just enjoy going on to the health store and get me some carrot juice and some cucumber juice and some cucumber and fresh carrots and cucumber and celery and beet juice. Man, that is so good and so healthy and so refreshing. Brother Nate?
Yes.
You ought to go try that, brother. I know you live down in the South there. I live in the North, so I have to. You got the great benefit of being in the South, eating more fresh food near the earth than I do. All this processed stuff up here is really getting to be something. Oh, my God. And I have to, most of the waters are polluted, so I have to buy my water or get a filter for my water. I don't, you all down in the South, y'all have a blessing. But up here, we have to get all kinds of filters.
No. Brother, we got to buy it to do the same thing here. I mean, it's especially here, in Durant. As far, like the drinking water, yeah, we have to buy our water here, the drinking water, and or have a filter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it, they come across many times, but that your water looks a different color, a rusty color.
Come in.
So.
Yeah. When I began to tell people about 25 and 30 years, the things that were going to cause all kind of sickness or disease was the water and about the air, how it was going to pollute it, and how the water was going to destroy people, and the stuff that was purifying the water was going to have an effect on many people. And I was telling them that the substance that they were growing food with and putting in the ground in order to get a better bumper crop and poison that they was putting on the crop, how it's going to affect, and it's going to be more cancer, more disease. When I tell these three things was going to cause, people don't believe you, of course. I said the food and the meat was going to be so contaminated, it's going to cause all kind of, disease in the bodies. You're going to see an outbreak of all kind of cancer and tumors. And so I was telling people, I said, that lie is going to be affected deadly. So I said, if you saints, y'all better make sure you pray and sanctify everything you put in your mouth. You better even sanctify the water. And then if you wise, if God says wisdom, which will talks about the wisdom delivering your life. If you're wise, you will monitor what you put in your mouth, and you'll monitor where it's grown at. And if you have to eat it, you have to pray and sanctify it so the Lord won't, do you no harm. But our main thing is our water has been polluted. I've been telling people about 25, 30 years about the pollution of the earth, the waterways, and the air and the food. So it's upon us now. Most people are aware to it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was sitting in my chair when I first came to Christ, and I used to sit in that rocking chair, my grandmother's chair, and I would pray most of the life sitting in that chair. And when I would be praying and fasting on my pray and fast days, he revealed to me why so many people were going to be sick and why even the saints was going to get some of the same diseases and problems that the sinners got. And because I would ask them, you know, why is the saints dying before their time and coming up with this stuff? And then I began to understand more about the laws of reciprocity and sowing and reaping, and about the result that saints were breaking certain laws, just like the sinners were breaking certain physical laws and certain health laws. And because they were violating health laws, they was, you know, the saints feel like that, I can eat all the red meat I want, all the fried food, all the pepper, all the salt, all the sugar. Well, they find out that you have a human body just like the sinners do, and your body, even though you're blessed of God and you're spiritually blessed, your human body will reap the same things the sinners will reap. If you don't believe it, your human body, you saved and sanctified, if you believe that, you think you just cut your arm and see don't your arm bleed, and the sinner is going to bleed too. Now, God may step in through faith and just stop the flow, but you believe me, you're going to hurt and wound and suffer in your flesh if you keep violating the laws of life and health. I passed this along to people 30, 35 years ago, why it was necessary for you to drink pure water and clean water. And because your kidney and your liver has to have water in your stomach to eliminate the poison out of your body. But people, hard to change it. They, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. Now you come up with some old stuff. We need to change our eating habits and do that. I said, well, no, you don't have to. You know, you don't have to. You know, so whatever you choose to do, eat, you either heed wisdom and live, or you ignore and you suffer. Now, the prayer of faith, James said, the prayer of faith will save the sick, call for the elders of the church. The prayer of faith, anointed their heads with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And at the end of that, he says, if they have sinned, it shall be forgiven them. Letting you know you can break God's law or transgress his law and cause some diverse consequences to your life. You can violate a spiritual law, a physical law, or a mental law. You know, there's laws that affect your mind. If you think on the wrong things a lot, like harsh, bitter, angry things, or upsetting things, it affects your central nervous system, and it affects your blood flow. It can give you a problem back with a heart attack or stroke. And so these laws you continuously violate will cause some consequences. If you eat certain stuff and it don't digest out of your system and your colon get clogged up, I mean, saint or sinner, gonna know. And so there are laws that regulate all flesh, because we are not in our redeemed body. We don't have a redeemed body yet. We're not in that new body yet. So you see, a lot of saints are overweight, and they feel like they can eat anything just like the sinners do, or the ungodly redeemed. They eat everything. Now, the people in the far, far, far lands that don't have the opportunity, they can have to eat whatever that's given to them. They have very little. Some eat out of garbage dump, some eat what. So they are in a less favorable condition. But in America, we have a lot of choices. We have a lot of choices and a lot of opportunity to make decisions about a lot of things. But many people in India and parts of Asia and Africa, they may not have as many choices about their lifestyle, what they eat or drink, or the water they drink, because of condition that exists. So we are entirely blessed. Okay, then. Let's qualify for live long and prosper in life. Is that all right? Let us qualify to live long and prosper, be in health. Is that okay?
That's okay. Amen.
I think you see so many people suffering and agony, and it's not the will of God. It's not the will of Christ. Hallelujah. I said, it's not the will of God, not the perfect will. It's not God-ordained will. Now, in certain cases, we bring stuff on our own self. I'm not going to get into that, how we call stuff to happen. Just like they tell you that a continuous overeating of too much red meat, Americans used to eating all the meat every three meals, and they have their research and found out that eating too much red meat or fried meat will cause certain conditions. Doctors know that. So much of this that will affect your health, too much salt and white sugar. But people are not very disciplined, just like me. I had to find out the hard way. And I had to learn some painful ways, some suffering way before I woke up. But I did. I did learn them. You know, it's hard for change. When I was in the military, they told me, take care of my teeth. I had some good teeth, and they would last me a lifetime if I take care of them. And I ignored my tooth, but I woke up in time to save my original teeth. I only had two teeth pulled, and I saved the rest of them. I caught it in time because I made a change in discipline about how I dealt with my teeth. So I'm thank God I don't have no choppers, brother. I praise God for that.
Amen. Amen.
I still got 90% of my original choppers. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, God wants us to be in health and well as a sign that we have contact with heaven. It is God's goodwill that we should live fruitful and be in health, even if our soul prosper. Here we are to live without stress, without anxiety. Do you know more how many people are dying under anxiety and stress, brother, worry? You know the three greatest killers, anxiety, stress, and worry?
Yeah.
And the devil used that, too, to put pressure and stress on us. And we have to teach people how to fight and cast these things off. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, you're the teacher and the school scholar, so you're going to have to teach on all these subjects about stress, anxiety, and fear. All this worry. Oh, do you know that some people, they love to worry. So I said, they love to worry. And every time the Lord Jesus would appear, the first thing he said, fear not. Then he'll go and say, worry not. Because worry erodes your time on the earth. Now, it's human, but if you walk in the spirit of worry and it gets inside of your body, into your mind, it's going to affect your whole life. So I'm learning how to be go worry-free. You know, one of the greatest victory of healing and deliverance is learning how to live life free from anxieties and worries. And it's at times a struggle to learn how to get to victory over that and how to live there. Not just get it, but live there. Every day, there's something you could worry about. You could see everything in this life, basically problems, get insurmountable, and disappointments and struggles and betrayals and hurts, and you can find something to worry about. But the Lord wants us to go worry-free. You know what the Lord Jesus said to Peter? He said, 1 Peter, what is it, 1 Peter 5 and 8, cast all your burdens and your cares upon me. Why do he want you to cast all your cares and burdens upon me? For he cares for thee. Why do you want me to carry all my burdens and cast all my cares and my heavy thing on him? Because he's a good dad and he's a good father, and he wants us to go free. So we have works to do for the Lord. We have lives to live, families and ministry and things to accomplish in the earth. He wants us to go free, be worry free, and teach people how to walk in peace and the peace of God and follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There's people today all around us burdened with great worry and anxiety, and some of them have a justifiable reason. They don't know what the next meal, they don't know where the next rent going to come from, they don't know they're in pain or sickness, they don't know where they're living in a tyrannized nation. So we should be praying for our brothers who don't know from the day to the next day what their life is going to be. So we are so blessed in America, in the USA. I just want to say, Jesus, I want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. My Lord, I just want to rejoice in you and rejoice for you. I thank you for putting up with my complaining, mumbling, and grumbling, and all my, you know, complaining. I want to thank you, Jesus, for putting up with that and helping me to turn and learn the better way to live worry-free, fear-free, and, you know, free from anxiety. I think that's the will of God. He came to set us free, Isaiah. And we think of all of the kind of difficulties that, but he wants us to be free from these things that yoke, bind, and destroy and oppress us. You know where Jesus went everywhere, delivering and healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil? Oppressed of the devil. So, to be free. All right, we got anyone on the line there that wants to be free from fear, worry, and stress and go free and live long. Because if you stay under stress, fear, and worry, your whole equilibrium, your whole nervous system, your whole kidney, your whole heart condition, your blood circulation system is struggling. You're putting pressure on that. If you got your food won't digest, people are so worried their food won't even digest, brother. You know that you can get so worried your food won't even digest?
Yeah.
And we can learn what Jesus said about walking and going free. Sure, we make mistakes and failures, and some people fall into sin, but come on. Let's get free. Let's get forgiven and get free. Not just forgiven, but get free. Sometimes we think that forgiveness is the only part of it. No. Forgiveness, cleansing, and then being delivered, set free. Those are the three components, freedom and liberty. Not just forgive me. No. No, don't just forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me and deliver me so I can go free. Free, brother. Now, make a observant guess. How many people you think are under stress and anxiety because somebody has hurt their feelings or disappointed them?
Millions. I believe about millions.
How many people you think are suffering physical disease and emotional problems because of bitterness or anger that's sown seed in their lives?
About close to the same number.
I can't hear you.
About close to the same number. I believe that's, I think that's about millions of people, encountering. And is going through that, has had that to happen, and that is happening right now.
I think one of the greatest gifts in the last days that the Church of the Living God needs is the gift of discernment. And the next one is the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I know these other gifts come first, like healing and miracles, but I perceive that if you get wisdom, a word of wisdom, and a word of knowledge and discernment, you'll be ahead of the game. What do you think?
Most definitely. Because it's, you know, in ministering process, the word of knowledge, especially in discerning the spirits, vitally to me, very important. I'm not neglecting or speaking bad about the other gifts, but I'm saying that what I've seen in ministering to people, how important the word of knowledge that comes by the Holy Ghost about the past or present with people's circumstances, you know, because brothers, many times when God's spirit operate in the word of knowledge and you speak it, it gets people attention because it's something that is revealed to you that they know that you should not have known about them. And
yeah.
I see God as a tool for you to minister to them to say, hey, this is what happened. Brother, you remember that account with Kenneth Hagin when he had the healing line and the man was coming up to be for hands be laid on to be healed? And remember how the Lord gave him a word of knowledge? I think that word of knowledge came through a vision, a dream where the man was holding his stomach. He had ulcers the size of a wasp nest, and he was coming, and God gave Brother Hagin not only the word of knowledge of what he's seen in the vision, but why it had happened, that the man had never paid his tithe. You know, he had never paid tithe.
I think, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that, people don't know that stealing from God can cover all kind of stuff. They don't see that, paying that tithe.
Oh, my God, brother.
They don't believe that. Here's good people. Good, wonderful, loving, caring people who are blind or ignorant of this truth, that stealing from God, of course they don't call it stealing, robbing God, Malachi said robbing God, just a tithe, which 10% of all of that Christian own, 10% God requires. He just asked for 10% for the work of the kingdom of God. Child, I ain't going to pay no tithe, I don't give no man no give him a penny. Robbing God, he asked Israel, in Malachi, you have robbed me of tithes and offerings. Now, the average believers of church go, a Christian, are born again. You know, a lot of them are sick and have trouble and things are born in life because they have robbed God of tithes, which they don't call it that, stealing. They don't look at it that way. But I'm sure the scriptures is not going to change. Because the Lord had to get me and rebuke me and chasten me and bring to my attention how serious that was back in the beginning. You know, because I said, I got to use this for something else. Yes, now I got to use this for this. You know, I'm going to take that 10% God that belongs to God. I'm going to use it for my pleasure or whatever. It don't have to be pleasure. It can be some necessary thing. But, in the Bible, there was a man that was paralyzed. And the reason he was paralyzed, Jesus knew the real reason. For he let him down. He was paralyzed. And Jesus said, your sins be forgiven. Now, most people didn't understand why the man was in the condition. Jesus said to some people, thy sins be forgiven.
Yeah.
Now, they come looking for healing or deliverance. They was paralyzed or their arm was crippled. But some of these curses upon them was a direct relationship to a sin, a violation of God's law. And Jesus would say, thy sin be forgiven thee. Go in peace and be well. So that happens also in many cases. Like you know, like people steal from God and they don't know why this is on there. Most people don't. I have found this out, that so many people are walking around with grudges and bitterness and hate, or just from a disappointment, or somebody injured them, they have not forgiven them, they have not released them, they are still carrying that baby, and when you carry that baby, it will come to years and affect your life. Listen, I went to pray for a person in my early stages because I was to pray and fast a lot, and when I would go to pray for them, and I would kind of know exactly what it was and why it was. I remember one day I said, you can't get healed, lady. Because I'm going to tell you what you, ma'am, I don't mean it, but you can't get healed until, because this is where it's coming from. I went into a house one time, and they want to know what problem. I said, you got some witchcraft stuff up in here. You got to get rid of somebody. I walked in. I was walked to a couple of people buildings, and I said, oh, cancer is up in this building here. Cancer is in here. So, you know, if you walk close enough to the Lord, you discern quickly the source and the cause of problems. A lady told us to pray. Me brother came to the north side. My son needs to pray. But she wouldn't tell us what the problem was. She knew what the problem was, but she didn't say. Okay. But I had got an inkling, an unction. For when I, you know how you get an unction with the problem, even though they won't tell you what it is?
Yeah.
So we were on our way, and as I stepped up, I said, oh, I know what this is. I ain't nobody tell me immediately. I know it was homosexual. I know it was a homosexual problem. Hallelujah. So the cause of the problem is very important to get some people released. Now, James says in his one teachings about laying hands and the prayer of faith should say to sick, and if they have sinned, it shall be forgiven them. In many cases, that can happen if it's caused by sin. Sometimes they have to confess the sin, though. In many cases, they have to confess and own the sin before they can get free or get healed or get delivered or whatever it is. Hallelujah. So it's very important that you to walk in love. I find out that many cases, brother, that people, the scripture says, walk in love towards all men. Now, I found out that in some cases I was not walking exactly in love attitude towards some people. And the Holy Spirit, when you're praying, would bring that to your attention, and he wants you to do something about that. And he will convict you, and your conscience will begin to move, and say, no, you have to reconcile that differences. So a lot of time we ignore the Holy Spirit is dealing with our conscience, and we ignore that, and it affects us in a negative way. I walk and I see people, and they are carrying so many different things in their lives that Satan is using to keep them with his foot on their head. But the Lord wants us to tell and share with people about freedom and liberty, that we can walk in a joyful and know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Amen for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you want to say something, brother? I didn't cut you off. What do you want to say?
Oh, no, brother, no. You know, you hit it right on the head. And, you know, brother, in many churches, what you're talking about now, and I don't know up your way, but I know down this way, they don't teach this. In fact, many of them teach that if they have cancer or something like that, you hear the words, let God's will be done. And, you know, and you have certain people that actually think that the cancer, okay, this is the will of God. I said, what God are you talking about? Well, I know you heard that. And, you know, I guess he had come to accept it at one time until I went into the Word and spoke to him about the Word of God. And God's Word bring light. And when he accepted that Word, it changed him of his course of thinking, because that's what he was told. You know, that's in the church that he belonged to. That's what he was told, that the sickness and all that, hey, you know, let the will of the Lord be done. And this is why, brother, I see it very important about the teaching school, because it needs to happen. It's people in bondage, brother, you know, to this stuff, and they actually think, you know, but this is the Lord.
Well, of course, what happened, brother, if they have to be in a Christian setting, a church setting, what they call Church of Redeemed, that a lot of times In a certain setting, they have not been enlightened to the more complete will of God. The ministers may be nice and good. They just what I call ignorant to the things, to complete will of God about certain things. So because of their traditions and their man-made thinking, they are missing some important benefits that belongs to them as Christians, and they're not taught that. And so they just accept anything that happens that being the will of God. Well, this is just the will of the Lord. This is the way it got to be. And yes, I know this God's will. And no, it is not God's will. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained. They haven't been enlightened. They've been told that everything that happens, well, this is the way I got to go, and this is the way I got to go, and this is God's will. These are good people. Love God, but ignorant. Have not been taught or trained. Their eyes has not been opened. These are wonderful people. Man, traditions and ignorance will kill you.
Yeah.
Ignorance is one of the greatest enemies. Fear and ignorance is one of the greatest enemies. The devil wants us to be ignorant to the will of God. You know, this is why the revelatory prophetic teaching ministry is very important. I know Brother Robert Ross, he tries to enlighten certain people to spiritual warfare and how demons and bondage work. And you know, good church people got offended. I mean, they got upset. They wanted to remain ignorant. And so when you want to remain ignorant, the Lord has to leave you ignorant. Because of your traditions and your mind. Oh, we don't believe in that, bro. We don't believe in that. Okay, then remain ignorant and suffer. Good people. It's good people. It's like Halloween coming up. And you can't change a lot of people's mind about the curses, what they are celebrating.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Halloween is a custom, but it is a satanic witchcraft, sorcery feast to the devil. They're celebrating the devil and evil. They don't know that. They're teaching their children, oh, go have some fun. They don't know where this came from, where it started. They don't even know what it means, what it really represents, who's behind it. And they could care less. Now, it is so dangerous that they put marijuana in the candy for the kids, and now I'm putting razor blades and marijuana lacing all over the candy so the kids get hooked on early to these drugs. Man, this is, and now they begin to wake up. Now, traditionally, you can't tell people that Halloween, oh, you just trying to keep the kids from having some fun. Where y'all get all this old mess at? Tell me, where you get this old mess at? Wow. So you had to walk away and say, okay. My kids, when they were going to preschool, and James Josiah, and so they're finna have a Hollywood, the little kids, and I told the teacher, I said, no, my kids won't be participating in that. Oh, why not? I said, no. I said a few words to her. I said, why? No, they won't be wearing no goblets and ghouls and masses and celebrating that. No, we went up. They won't be coming.
Amen.
Well, that didn't go over too good. But the lady was a nice lady. I think she was a Christian church going people. Wonderful people, a free person. But I was trying to explain to her shortly without going into great detail. So no, they won't be celebrating that. They won't be coming to your little, you know, party and stuff. I'm not going, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to kind of slight tell people that you're not going to participate in this. All right, then. Look, I went into a house one time, and I know that they had some witchcraft stuff, some sorcery in there. I said, you got to get rid of this stuff out of here. The Bible said, talk about bringing any cursed thing or vile thing into your house. You see that thing over there? That thing over there you got over there? That's to dedicated to another god. That represents another god. I said, you got to get that statue of that fist and out of your house. I said, it's cursed. Now, if you don't teach people, they remain what? Ignorant. Is that right, brother?
That's right.
But in certain church groups, you can't teach certain things. They'll put you out.
Amen. You're right. They will put you out.
They'll run you out of town.
Amen.
You'll get a reputation being despised and a fanatic.
Yeah. Amen.
And the devil will still be getting over because of their ignorance.
Right.
He wants you to stay ignorant. He wants you, the Christian, to stay ignorant of how Satan operates and what he does and what the law of God says about that he legally can curse you when you have things in your house that belongs to the devil. Now, if you don't think that you have marijuana in your house, that a spirit don't come with that marijuana, and so you letting the people in there smoke marijuana time, ain't no harm, there is a demon.
Yeah.
There is a demon that will, you know why the devil wants all this legality of marijuana and hemp, brother? I mean, people do not have no spiritual understanding what they're loosing on themselves.
Right.
Now, I know there's a medical part to it, they claim.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that.
But I ain't going to get into that. I'm not going to be against. Yeah. I can't be, you know, I'm not going to get into that serious part. I'm not. You know, I can't be against it, so I'm going to help you medically. But the devil is going to outsmart. He don't outsmart America. He don't outsmart these businesses. He don't use like their greed. They're going to make billions, and our kids and the people are going to be messed up and destroyed.
Yeah.
Listen, this devil is cunning. Somebody got to open the eyes of the blind. This devil is cunning. He got America in the grips just where he almost got America right now, where he wants them at. He got them. Man, you're going to have everybody going to be a hemp head, a marijuana head, or every illegal walking. I mean, you talking about praying and fasting and walking in the Lord. You're going to have to walk in the Lord with all these people loose out here.
Yeah.
Brother, you have to walk in the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to walk in the blood of Jesus. All these spirits that they loose now, everybody want to get in on this hemp, raising hemp, and they call it all this old junk and marijuana and nothing, straight from hell to destroy a nation. They were doing that in the days of Noah. See, people don't have the background of what was going on in the days of Noah, why the Lord had to destroy Noah. People had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, people, how many sermons have you heard about Sodom and Gomorrah on TV, brother?
Lately, not too many, brother. That ain't coming. That ain't. Well, you know, and you know one of the reasons I see why that's so, brother, especially by Sodom and Gomorrah, because the church ain't got scared. Because they scared of talking about homosexuality. You know, we got to a point where we didn't got start accepting and stuff like that, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're gonna leave.
What
that,
about
we're gonna leave that part out, you know. That's what we do.
Adultery, fornication, abortion, bitterness, unforgiveness, witchcraft, sorcery, gambling, shacking up, cracking up, whatever. Boyfriend,
yeah.
Girlfriend, innocent.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
No. Yeah. Now, here's one of the signs. That this is an outward sign. This is not the inward sign. This is an inward sign that's being manifested of a, this is an outward sign of an inward thing. You notice how the dress of people have changed in our generation? This is this is one of the inward signs, the outward signs coming from the inside. Do you notice the distinct change of dress mean a distinct changing of thought and mind.
Right.
What's motivating that? The dress is getting more what in America? Like, you know, can you describe it?
Okay. Shorter. One thing, shorter, tighter, and the other dressing is too loose, as in open.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, with the men, you see that.
No, you ain't through with the women, yeah.
But no, I ain't through with the women. But I had to say this point right here. What I'm talking about with the suits. Remember, especially with the men, they had it made where it would have the men showing their broad shoulders. You know, I'm talking about inside the suit and how that, you know, when you have a lot of homosexuals that create the clothing, they took that pattern from out of there, you know, because they want to see that certain look on the men.
Do you know?
But that's another story.
That when this started happening, was a signal and sign of something that was changing in the world, that a demon and a prince was making a change, and he slowly, casually changed where nobody could notice of something was happening. You notice that men started acting different when they started dressing different. Notice that women started acting different. Now, people don't know spiritual things. That's why they think these things are no harm. They always say you're a legalist. How they cover themselves, well, you're a legalist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they cover it, of something that's happening to their thinking. You notice how men are making their hairs, their makeup, their outside appearance is plenty feminine, more feminine, and women's have become more masculine. And all the makeup and all the eyebrows and all the tattoos and all the cuttings, this is a sign.
Yes.
This is a sign. There is a spirit. See, they don't know spiritual things or spiritual law. That's why they see, they don't, that's why the average church person don't see nothing. Oh, they don't understand how the spirit of the enemy operating. How he operates to the downfall of a nation.
Yes.
They don't comprehend it because they don't understand spiritual things, how Satan overthrow nations and people.
Amen.
Oh, Sister Allison, here you are.
Oh,
God bless you.
God bless you. Just listening in from the beginning, and thank God for the truthfulness of the word. I thank God for the word.
Well, we're just having a fire chat, sister. We just have two men at the fire just chatting, having a chat.
Amen.
Heart-to-heart chat.
Chat right on. But I wanted to say also that the change in the dress for the women, and I know this for a fact, you cannot go in the store and buy a decent dress these days. You cannot.
You'll have to go to a has-been store.
Yes.
I said you have to go to a has-been store because the devil has outsmarted America and even the Christian world.
Amen.
They call the devil a cunning, crafty one. I see now. I begin to discern how crafty he is, how deceitful and tricky he is, even to the Christians. Now you can't tell the difference. Now they got a thing where they don't want to use male or female anymore. It's all neutral. But he's going to have on our dress code, it ain't going to be male or female. This devil is about to take over the gender control. There'll be no male or female. It'll just be neutral, Brother Nate. You ain't no male, just neutral. Don't put nothing on there.
Uh-huh.
No more male and female.
Yes.
No identity.
You know what I just heard on the news?
What?
That they're coming up with now where they want feminine product in all bathrooms. All bathrooms.
Now you see, the devil. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. No, go ahead. No, I'm just reacting to what she said. No problem. Wow.
Listen, he wants to blur the line, and he's going to force the government because these people are in the government. Why do you think that they're in the government now and they're controlling all these laws? And most of them are liberal Democrats. I'll go over it again. Most of them are leftist liberal Democrats. Not all of them, but most of them are.
Yes.
Do I need to say it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably too.
This Democrat agenda want all this mess to come in.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I know somebody ain't going to like it, but don't make me no difference. That don't mean I agree with everything that Trump do either. I'm not going to get off the Republicans either. I ain't got time for them today with their hypocrisy. Because they full of hypocrisy too.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this is a sign that Babylon has come. This is the sign, the outward sign of Babylon.
Yes.
Now, you notice that if you watch these people, there's a certain spirit to be upon them. You can discern. If you could be go in a shop or unisex or anywhere, and you see these spirits upon people, and with these spirits upon them, they started dressing a certain way, talking, acting a certain way, putting on stuff on their eyelids, put all kind of makeup, men and women, crossing the line, cross-dressing, cross this. This devil is at work, Brother Nate. And we don't even see it.
He's at work.
He's starting at the cradle. He ain't waiting till the children. Used to be the devil was waiting till you got up, you know, age. But the devil's starting at the cradle.
Amen.
He wants to capture the world. He ain't got but a short time. And the church, the majority of them are not waking up. They're asleep at noonday.
Yes.
And they're scared. They're afraid.
Sure enough.
And they don't like you, Brother Nate.
Amen.
Your name is Mud. Some will call you Mud.
Mm-hmm.
Mud. I'm going to say in the background, Mud on you. They don't like for this raw truth you're talking about, exposing the devil.
Sure don't.
You think they shouting and jumping? Only a few people are rejoiced. Only a few.
Yes.
I don't want to name no churches. I don't want to name nothing, political order, social order. Let that speak for his own self.
Yes. Amen.
Now, the messenger, as we close, said, lift the standard.
Yes.
The angel that comes today, he said, set the standard high and lift the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Church of Christ was been raised up to set the standard for the whole world and the whole church world. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
But,
yes.
What's the but?
Mm-hmm.
But what's the but?
Mm-hmm.
The messenger of the Lord has come from and spoken from message 34 all the way down to 100. Set the standard. Lift the standard. Let the standard be set high, the banner of Christ. Why do you keep repeating that? Because we, the Church of Christ, the kingdom of God, is for to set the standard that all may see. So when people look for it, in the latter day, be looking and searching for the standard of Christ and the kingdom. Come out from, and all this stuff from coming into the church with all this Babylon junk and Sodom and Gomorrah stuff that's coming to the church world.
Amen.
There is no sexual difference. The devil has blood, the gender, he says. It's five different groups now. It's getting bigger. Six, I don't know what they call it, trisender, bisender, transgender. I don't know. They got to be confused here, Brother Nate. You're going to have to help me out here. You're going to have to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, now you got to, you go to the altar. Are you a female? Or don't worry about it. We all the same. So you say you go marry somebody, and you say, "Hey, wait a minute, hold on, hold on here now. Are you a bro? Are you a what's up?" And then you marry, you say, "Oh, I thought you was a ain't no more male or female stuff." So you better tell your children to know what they marry. I'm sorry. No, I ain't sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm going to get on that hate list like you are, Brother Nate.
You was on there before I was, brother.
I was already first place.
You was on there before I was.
I was on first place. I apologize. I was on the first place. I'm still on there. I'm a tip-tap. I'm not off. Amen. The standard. Let's read. Message. We ain't got it, but... Message 34 and 6 again. About the Church of Christ with the Elijah message is to set the God's standard, the Christ gospel standard for all the world. Wow,
yes.
That's some responsibility. But, I got to put the but in there because it's 34 and 6. Message, the angel's message became and this message 34, Elias has spoken this word, and we have not heeded.
Amen.
No, we. I put myself in there. I include myself. We have not heeded. Message 34 and 6. 34 and 6.
34 and 6. The word of the Lord said, "Hasten, ye sons of Levi, hasten to your calling. Remember your ancient choosing, calling, and promise of your Lord. Let not my work suffer because of unbelief, but arise and go forth in the strength of the Lord. For love is your work. Go in faith. Bear ye the fruits of my spirit, that there may be order in my house. When many finding out elsewhere and look for standards, let the Church of Christ take her place with the gospel of love to govern the feet of the weary and the wanderer."
Yes.
Really?
Amen. Govern the feet. Yes, amen.
Really? Now, if you go back and look in the back and look at how many times he mentioned and commanded us to lift the standard. Now, you want to know why the temple of the Lord and Zion has not been established? But everybody keeps saying, "We got it. We got it." I'm not trying to be funny, but this is serious. This is more serious than we think. The restoration group keeps saying, "Everyone, see, we the one. We got it. We the one. We got it." I'm not making light of it that these people don't love the Lord and care about the Lord, but the evidence speaks the real proof. Go to message 96. It began in verse 6, 96, the word of the Lord, the angel's message, 96, began at verse 6 to 9.
96, verse 6 to 9. Okay. The word of the Lord says, "Where is the watchman? Why do so many shrink from the way of truth and light that I bring? Search the words I bring, study them. And them some think that they do well to follow, but are slow to understand. For all Christendom must flow together in the truth. Proclaim this among the people. The great day of the Lord is near at hand, and the powers that destroy, them that destroy the earth, shall swing wide in the wind of war, strife, and bloodshed, filling the earth with woe. As the powers of evil build for destruction, the way of God will swell in the hearts of the righteous, honest, and humble of the Lord. Lo, the Lord has waited long for his bidden ones to awaken and press forward and prepare their life for greater things to transpire and build the kingdom, the Zion of the Lord among mankind, but they have failed. Thus he looks to the remnant that he shall fulfill his work."
Now, we just got a few minutes left. What do you get from that warning wake-up call?
I failed in our work.
Well, pardon me. Go ahead, sis. We got a few minutes.
Okay. First of all, a question is being asked. Where is that watchman? And then he said, why is there so many shrinks from the way of the truth and the light that the Lord sends through the messenger John the Baptist? And the way things are, which is you I was talking about earlier, the way the devil has taken over and taken control of so many things. And another thing that play a part in it is fear, the fear of the people. That brother was saying, they don't want to speak out and tell the truth. And during the earlier, you mentioned people don't want to hear the raw truth. They just don't want to hear it. So there are a lot of people, and I was talking to someone just yesterday, and I was telling them, see, people have a habit. They go to the church where they can hear what's soothing to them, what they want to hear, not the truth. They don't want to mm-hmm. hear or know the truth. They want to go somewhere and listen to things that are soothing to them. And the word mm-hmm. is telling us, that, you know, the powers that destroy and the earth that will be destroyed. And he's saying, you know, in one of the messages where it talks about swinging wide the gate, here it says shall swing wide in the wind of war, strife, and bloodshed. People don't believe that that's going to happen. They just don't believe the word that's being sent and being preached and being taught. People don't want to believe these things. And so they are not accepting these things. And that's why, the word talk about and building the kingdom, design of the Lord among mankind, because the word also talk about people with clean hands and pure heart. You're not receiving.
They talked in that message about the word fail, F-A-I-L.
And
what do F-A-I-L? That
yes.
should be a shocking reality, convicting power, when that message came. To me, like, everybody should fell on the altar.
That is
and
not.
Ran to the altar.
Yeah.
The fear of God. He said, I waited for over 100 years, and I waited another 80 years, 180 years. Zion has not been established. The house of God has not been built. There's nobody qualified as a whole to do it. Now, that ought to put some kind of conviction in everybody.
Yeah.
But did it?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
It didn't?
No,
but they keep saying, we're the one, we're the only one, we've got it, we're the only one. Well, we'll let that go. The standard of God. Okay, we got, 3 minutes left or 2 minutes?
About 5 minutes.
I want you to turn to the word of the Lord, 61 and 12. Message, the angel's message, 61 and 12.
The word of the Lord said, the Lord has heard the prayers of the faithful and will continue to bless you. Keep the standard, be calm and at peace, and joy shall be with you. Obey the instructions I bring, for the Lord has sent me, and it is his words that I bring, and Christ's word shall judge all men at the last day.
Now, I will give you an example. All of us need to repent and confess. That 96th message told us, in that 96, it told us to proclaim something to the world. Now, most people are leaving out the important things in that 96th message. There's a lot of things, a short message, but he encouraged us and told us, what did he tell us proclaim in the 96th? Proclaim to the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did he mm-hmm. say about the destruction that is about to come?
It's going to swing wide in the wind of war, strife, and bloodshed.
Have we adequately did that?
No.
No.
Oh, I see. Maybe Maybe. Maybe we were kind of asleep when that came. The message came back. Maybe we didn't hear it. Maybe we were asleep when it was being read or something. Yeah, probably was. Probably was.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. You want to know why the Lord asked the question as we close? In 111 message, where is the house built unto me? Why would the Lord send an angel and ask the whole restoration, everybody, where is the house built unto me? Now, have you understood that these things are not convicting us?
Yes.
Mm.
And not convincing us? Not calling us to question? Most people just want, wait on the next message. Wait on the next message. Wait on the next message. He said in 111 message, where is the house built unto me?
Mm. Jesus. Yes.
As we leave, these are the questions that have been put to us by the Lord God himself, by his messenger from on high. But it seems that many people have not understood or care to understand what real convictions that cause us to hasten to obey. Will we obey? Will he turn to a remnant? Who is that remnant? Who is that remnant that he's preserved?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we desire to be among the faithful and true, and those that are committed to fully obey and yield our lives to bring about the fruits of Zion. Help us, Jesus, to bring thy kingdom come, to awaken mankind, for Elijah hath blown the trumpet in Zion. And let it be known in all his holy mountain, Elijah brings the trump in its 12th hour, the trump in Zion. Hallelujah. Who will hearken to the message and the trump of the message that Elijah is bringing, the remnant whom you will raise up to take this work forward. Help us, the honest in heart, the humble and faithful and true, to be a part of that remnant of seed that are ushered in the kingdom of God and Christ soon coming. To all of you out there, we're praying for you. The message of the kingdom has come. Tune in and be blessed. We love you, this Brother Lee, Brother Nate, and Sister Anderson, missionaries of this work.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you real good.
And don't forget, tomorrow night, right, another God's Word Demand broadcast. We will continue on with the Masonic Order in the series we will be dealing with. But the Lord say the same, the vows and the oaths that is being made. So praise be to God. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So once again, for
Amen.
Brother Lee, Brother Nate, and Sister Anderson, we love you all. May God bless you and keep you.
Love you guys. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless y'all. God bless.
I worship and adore you. Just one.